Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, as you'd imagine, at the moment, we covered some pretty varied ground.
We did, yes. We talked about cutting your own hair.
Yeah, apparently the sales of clippers and hair-cutting equipment are up on Amazon as people contemplate not being able to go to the barbers or the hairdressers. So we spoke to the sports barber, Rob from Turnstiles, about that. Kevin Day joined us, friend of the show, comedian. We had a chat with him.
We wished happy birthday to Bumble, David Lloyd.
Lloyd's birthday today, although it's an unusual one.
It is. And we delve back into the archive for a bit more of our Russian odyssey, and you'll hear about the trip, overnight trip to St. Petersburg.
From Moscow, that's right. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I'm loving Mike's suggestions. And
This is Mike Ward, yeah?
Mike Ward,
he's been joining us this week just before the end of the show, just to talk us through some of the pick of the non-sporting stuff on TV. I've gone for one of his. You went for one of his last night, didn't you? But you treated it like sport.
I did. I basically sat down with my book and started to log back in time to the corner shop. I thought, this is so depressing. I'm really missing football. But I decided, because
you're going to tell Mike about it later on. Donald Trump and Henry VIII, you know, the comparisons between the two.
Are they similar?
Well, look, there are obvious comparisons. I watched that on Monday night. I'm not sure.
Watch out, Melania, then.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Apart from the obvious, obviously. Yeah. I'm not sure it sustains an hour, let's be honest. But it was intriguing. I'd love to have been in the pitch meeting when someone went, OK, so we got this idea. We get historians in and people like Matt Fry, kind of commentators, Channel 4 News. And we basically compare Henry VIII with this sort of bit of docudrama and Donald Trump. And you think, we'll take it. Yeah.
Did Henry VIII, did he have an odd hairstyle?
It wasn't so much that. It was a bit more depth to it than that. It wasn't the way they looked. It didn't look a lot alike, they really? But we'll come on to that.
But
later.
Anyway, I decided, because I got a bit down about it, and I thought,
a bit down about what?
Well, about logging this programme back in time.
Well, no one made you do it.
No, but I've got to talk about something. So then I realised, I thought, my mental health, what I need is a good sports documentary.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that every night.
You're going to watch one sports
documentary. Yeah, I'm going to watch telly with the wife, do all the other stuff that I want to catch up box sets, but I am going to make sure I get my fix of sport. Otherwise, my equilibrium is gone.
I understand.
I chose a brilliant one, the Greasy documentary on BT.
Isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's terrific. Talking of Donald Trump, it starts with him laughing at Greasy's Doug Ellis joke. You think, he really knows who Doug Ellis is. We should have known, shouldn't we? God. And what a player he was, Greavesy. I mean, before he got the illness, before the thing that put him out of that really slowed him down, actually, he was never quite, they said Norman Gill, never quite the same player. He was Messi-like. He was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, even at Milan, I mean, today we hear stuff about players being unhappy and it's affected his form and he's not quite the right same player. But Greavesy was so unhappy at Milan, but he just kept still scoring goals.
Yeah.
It was like he couldn't... Pictures that you wouldn't even be able to control the ball now. It's incredible. And you realise that the cup final, the 1962 cup final, was like the Super Bowl. It was such a big game. You forget. So it's a really interesting. I mean, the finish.
I've not seen a lot of those very early goals for Chelsea.
Oh, tremendous.
But it's worth watching the quality of the goals on the considering the surfaces he was playing.
Yeah, the
on.
Finish on a bobbly pitch against Rangers. Yeah. I mean, he was some
player, and you know, you hear his story, and you have nothing but respect really for what he went through and how he came out the other side.
I've only got halfway through, so. I think I've gone up to the World Cup, but there's a great bit with Alf Ramsey, the way Alf spoke. He said, the reporter said, any injuries, Alf? He went, yes, Greaves will have to be of stitches. He's got this gesh on his leg. He's almost South African. It's just strange.
Yeah,
way of speaking. It was really odd.
He was, we've mentioned before that it would slip because he took the elocution lessons. He was a bit like Lionel Jeffries, wasn't he, Sir Alf Ramsey?
Yeah, he was.
But then he'd slip back into old Sergeant Major. And he'd say, well, yes, training went well this morning, but we had a few injury issues in the last half hour. But it was, he just occasionally slipped back into Dagenham. He couldn't help himself. It was great.
But it's funny, it's something that you brought up in the meeting that we're going to do tomorrow about with sporting memories, and I know you'll go and explain it further as we go on. But watching the cup final against Chelsea in 1967... I remembered it so well. It all came flooding. I was there.
Yeah.
Flooding back
before
to me.
My time. Yeah, that you know, really so started going.
61. I was there for his last game for Chelsea, but I don't remember. I was only about
20.
I was about 18. Eight. Terrible man you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations to Nicole Appleton.
Oh, yeah.
She's given birth to a little girl. It's got a bit of a sporting connotation. This. Really? She's called the little girl Skipper. Blimey, what's her brother called? Gaffer. A bit odd, isn't it? What a strange name. Skipper, but fair enough. Well done to them.
That's quite a nice name, actually. A bit different.
It's not really a name, is it, Skipper?
Well, okay. Well, obviously, you've got ready-made captain of the team.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there we go. From that point of view, it's a good thing. I'm quite excited. I got a notification today online that I ordered this at Christmas, probably because of the problems in China. It hasn't arrived yet, but it's on its way. It's a new 3D cricket game. I don't know if you ever remember Ian Botham's Test Match. It's like a proper, the figures, it's a bit like Sabutio cricket, but there's a bowler and the ball comes down his arm.
Oh, yeah.
You get a chance to work the batsman. So I'll be bringing that in. That'll be live sport next week.
Yeah, we'll be filming that.
That's on
social media.
That's on its way.
It's not arrived yet, though.
Well, it's on its way. I've had notification from the people. It's in transit, so hopefully...
How much it cost?
About 40 quid.
Oh, wow, okay. So it should be just like the real thing, then.
Oh, it's terrific. You have a look at it. I'll put the name of it up there. I can't remember what it's called now, but...
Okay, all right. We'll have a look a bit later. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So... coming up this afternoon, we're going to kick off talking a bit of football because there is an awful lot of talk about, obviously, the fixture logjam and how things are likely to pan out in the long run. And it does feel more and more, Dave Kidd wrote about it in the summer, we're going to talk to John Cross about it shortly, and we did mention this yesterday, the one competition that we'll have to give next season as we play catch-up will be the League Cup. You cannot see how that's going to be able to work.
As long as the lower clubs are compensated, as long as the right thing is done, then people can accept this for a season. You know, we're going to have to be flexible and generous and decent, and that's the only way through this minefield. It is, you know, and so that's what's going to have to happen. This is what's going to have to happen.
We will take your calls this afternoon. You know, Andy is often reluctant. I don't know why. He's a man who's basically spent his whole life socially isolating.
I got put off in the 2002 World Cup. That's what it was.
You got but just by one call. Whoever you were, you came on one day and you said, Nicky Butt, it was about 4 days after the game, and you said, Nicky Butt was immense.
We knew he'd been immense like half an hour after the game. We didn't need this bloke to come on 3 years ago.
Callers,
Nicky Butt was immense. I was thinking, I'm never taking another call ever again on this station.
Ideally, we need people to call in and say, Nicky Butt is still immense. And examples, if you've seen Nicky subsequently and you've got reasons why he was immense, we'd love to hear from you.
That's desperate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, as you're probably aware, there's very, very little racing going on in the world at the moment. Some in South Africa and also some in Hong Kong. Happy Valley remains open, doesn't it, Andy?
Oh, yes.
And the good people at Sky Sports Racing, they are bringing you that. So we thought we might have a little virtual punt. The way we did it, a bit like you used to do back in the day. You can't really study. Well, you can study the form if you like, but we're just working on that. The thing, that the resonance. Our producer, Jamie, is producing us today because our assistant, our producer, John, is off. He's in isolation.
He is.
Yeah, the guys he shares his flat with are all showing some symptoms. So John is not with us at the moment. I mean, it's early days. We don't think they've got it, but you just can't be too careful.
You've got to be,
you've
got to err on the side of caution.
So Jamie was listening yesterday, and he used to go to a club in Watford called Oceanus, and that was one of the horses. So he got on that. That was the reason. And of course, it won.
It did.
Yes. So you can do quite well out of this virtually punting. So, Andy, give us the runners and riders, and I'll choose one, and you can choose one. The listeners can as well.
Well, it's the 145 at Happy Valley. It's the Magnolia Handicap.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's quite a big race. 79 grand to the winner.
Okay.
Number one, Magnificent 14.
Got any tie up to the work, no. The number 14 particularly?
Packing Joy 31.
That's not, you can't get much out of that.
A horse, is it? Beauty Happy 14. These are very strange. Commentator's nightmare. Rupert Bell would have a problem with this. Real Busy 24.
What? Aren't the numbers the numbers of the horses? I don't think they're in the names. Aren't they? Real Busy would be them. Why do you keep giving the numbers out?
No, because it's number two, Packing Joy 31. They've all got
well,
numbers.
Leave the numbers off. It's just confusing things. Just give us the names.
Okay. Magnificent, Packing Joy.
Yeah.
Beauty Happy.
Mm.
Real Busy.
Yeah.
Surrealism. Alkari. Thunder Stomp,
yeah.
Heavenly Thought, Sunshine Warrior, Hercules, Total Power, Starship, and The Weatherman. I'm on The Weatherman. John Ketley.
For John Ketley. I'm on The Weatherman as well, Andy. We're both Surrealism, apparently. Andy's smart.
John Ketley's not on The Weatherman.
But Surrealism, Andy Smart's actually had a bet on.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So that's it. That's his bet. So weigh in based on that then. Whatever you fancy, and hopefully you'll get a winner. We'll give you the result of the 145. Number 14, one called Number 14, wasn't there? I think I remember saying David. No, David Ginla.
Beauty Happy.
David. Oh, that was okay. Yeah, the number 14 was Immaterial, wasn't it?
So it says Bob from Harborough says maybe Beaky can watch the DVD of the playoff match between Northampton and Tranmere, wasn't he?
It wasn't Northampton and Mansfield.
Mansfield.
That's
right,
who the game was between.
Mansfield, so that we can finally establish who won.
That's right, from the infamous clip. Anyway, one of the things they're talking about at the moment is it's going to be quite difficult for you as time goes on to maybe go and get a haircut. So a lot of us may be walking around, people of a certain age, looking like we're going for a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
With quite a lot of hair going down our backs. So obviously, because it's quite an intimate...
Not me, you understand.
No, but it's quite an intimate process, isn't it? Going to the barbers, going to the hairdresser, somebody's quite close to you. They've got to be in your face.
You saw
often.
That thing from China with the six-foot shears.
Yeah.
The scissors at the end of the six-foot shears.
So apparently there's been a run on clippers and run on hair cutting equipment on Amazon and beyond because people are contemplating cutting their own hair.
That could be
which
bad.
Sounds like a disaster, doesn't it? Rob Albury runs the Footballing Barbers Turnstiles and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, chaps. How are you?
Good, thank you. I mean, have you noticed a drop off in business in the last few days?
Not yet, no. I think people coming in and talking as if this is going to be their last haircut for a while.
Mm.
But as of this week, no, we're still up and trading and still doing okay.
I mean, as I said, it's difficult, isn't it? By definition, you have to get quite close to people to cut their hair. You're going to be in their faces at times and they're going to be in yours. So do you or any of your staff have concerns?
Yes, of course, yeah. Like everybody's got concerns, yeah. We do everything in the shop possible to keep it as clean as possible. And I've washed my hands so many times in the last couple of weeks that they're starting to...
Yeah.
I'm going to need to panic buy some hand cream.
It's true. The clippers, though, you've got to be careful, haven't you? Because I remember the first time my wife got them, I'm talking about, like 25 years ago, I would imagine, at least. And my boy was playing in a cup final the next day. So I said to him, I'll give you a footballer's haircut. So with the clippers, and I completely ruined his hair, like big bald patches he had all over his head.
I wonder why that is, because you haven't got a clue what you're doing, especially as your wife's a hairdresser. Why didn't you let her do it?
No idea.
Yeah, just took the clippers to his kid's head. What a business. I mean, cutting your own hair. I mean,
it's difficult, isn't it?
Shaving your own head is one thing, Rob. A lot of people do that. But cutting your own hair, I mean, that's high. Do you even do yours? Would you even try it?
Well, I can cut my own hair, yeah, although I don't. But, yeah, I'll give one piece of advice to people. Don't do it. Wait until... Just enjoy having a bit more hair and wait until everything goes back to normal, because, you know, when people have come in and cut their own hair before, it's usually quite a good... repair job is needed.
Yeah. What do they tend to do wrong? What is it, just all over the shop, is it?
Well, as you said earlier, you know, if you've got a crew cut, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
As long as you remember to put the right attachment comb length on it. We've had stories of people not putting any comb on at all and then going straight through it and taking it all off.
That's not ideal, is it, really?
But if you actually have got a hair style, yeah, I mean, what do? You're just kind of like attempting to do something. You have no idea what you're doing. So, yeah, that can go seriously wrong. So, yeah, people, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, footballers, you know, they often fly hairdressers in, but I don't suppose they'll be able to do that. If they're in isolation, they won't be able to do that. But I think you're right, though, Robert. I mean, our own assistant producer today is producing Jamie. He took advantage yesterday and went and had his hair done and his beard done, because you're right, people don't know when they're going to be able to do it again. So I would imagine you have been busy this week.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
My wife cuts her own hair, and but I have to.
She is a hairdresser.
She's a hairdresser, but yeah. I have to do the finish, because she can't see the back, so I have to do the back.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You ever put a little Nike tick in there for a bit of fun? That would be very tempting, wouldn't it?
Good idea.
So you'll carry on regardless, Rob, until you're told otherwise. I mean,
yeah,
it's very interesting.
Until we're told otherwise, yeah, we'll be carrying on, yeah. And, you know, obviously grateful with people keeping us all going, everybody in the trade.
These are worrying times for everybody in you know, your high street business like that. You've probably got restaurants and pubs and everything nearby you, and you speak to local shopkeepers. They're going through at the moment, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So we're going to have a tremendous party when this is all finished. Yeah,
it's a big hair-cutting party. It'd be fantastic.
Brilliant, Rob.
So, Turnstiles, it's in Station Road East in Oxted in Surrey.
Get your haircuts while you can.
It's got a real football theme as the barbers. So if you're in that part of the world, go and support Rob and the gang. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Rob. All the best.
Yes. Cheers.
There we are. This Rob from Turnstiles in Surrey, the football barber. If you've ever cut your own hair, we're very interested to hear from you. Oh, yeah. How did it go?
Call us up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but Andy, can't wait to hear from you. Can't wait for them calls. 08717 223 344. Talk us through what went wrong. Well, maybe you can send pictures on social media. At TSHNJ, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, at TalkSport.com if you want to get in touch this afternoon, /HNJ on anything. But if you've gone down that route, if you've tried a bit of self-grooming, because they're saying that obviously people are having their nails done and all the other things that they get done, going to cut back or possibly give up on them at the moment. So let us know this afternoon. Denise has been in touch. She is going for surrealism. She's with Andy Smart, not because she studied the form like him. 5 is her lucky number.
Well, that's good.
So what are you on and why in the...
There's a horse called Total Power. That's a good one for Paddy.
It could be 1:45 at Happy Valley. It's one of the few races that's still surviving. It's on Sky Sports Racing. And we'll bring you the result very shortly. We'll also have a chat with Bumble. It is David Lloyd's birthday today, and he's self-isolating. He'll be telling us more and telling us what he's getting up to, apart from that, in a few moments' time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're just going to get to Bumble Up very shortly. In the meantime, oh, he's there. Let's get him now.
Okay.
Because it's his birthday. 73 years young today is David Lloyd. And he hoped to be in Sri Lanka working on his birthday. But he's in the garden. Well, maybe not this minute, but he is certainly self-isolating. Bumble, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. He's very quiet.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
Sure.
Not the one you had planned.
No, I should have been in goal, and I was ready to go, and then it got called off. So a sensible thing to do. I never expected to go, to be honest. But, I mean, what a shock to everybody worldwide.
Of course, yeah.
How are you feeling yourself?
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm in that 70 plus group, and you know, I want to go down the pub and see my mates. I go every night, 5:30 till 6:30, early doors. But you know, I just can't go. Anyway, what we're doing is remote drinking.
Right. Okay. How you all sort of Skyping each other or something? Or?
Yeah. No. Just what are you having? Well, I'm just having a bottle of this or a bottle of that, and. But I mean, I know people are still going. It's a bit ambiguous that, you know, they're saying don't go to the pub, don't go to the restaurants, but they're still open.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, it's very difficult for
are
them.
Are people still going sympathize. To your local? Are, you, are there some of the boys still going? Some of the people still going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you kind of feel guilty saying it, but I mean, a lot of the pubs are guilty about opening because they don't quite know what to do, and a lot of the drinkers don't know whether they should be there or not.
Drinking outside.
Well, it's called Archive. It's a bar, and it's next door to one called the Chiverton Tap, and the sort of craft ale bars. It's just like a room.
Yeah.
And it's the regulars. Everybody knows everybody, and the ales change all the time.
Oh.
And you become a creature of habit.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And so when it's something like this, and of course people think, well, it's not going to happen to me. But you've just got to take the advice. I'll be watching the bulletins. And these scientists, they're the top of the profession. They're bang on. And then that chancellor comes on and he does his bit succinctly. And you understand what he's saying.
Mm.
I'm not so sure about the bloke in the middle.
But Bumble, you yourself, I mean, there's been lots of advice for people over 17, and you're 73 today. But I would say that, you know, touch wood, you're as fit as any bloke, at least 10 to 15 years younger. I mean, you keep yourself in good nick, don't you? And so,
well,
you know,
I mean, it's like anything else. You look after yourself. I mean, it's work hard, play hard. And, you know, what I've done over the years, I eat properly, I get my exercise. I should do more exercise than I do. But I'm lucky that I love a drink, but I can't drink, if you know what I mean. I go to the pub for the social aspect of being with my mates and chatting about all sorts of different things. And I think the pub is a community, it's an essence of life, that you go down and you see familiar faces and you have a chat, and I just do an hour and go home.
So yeah, just sitting home,
miss that. You're right.
Just sitting home having a beer is not really what it's about, is it? It's not the beer itself, it's the company.
It's exactly that. It's the company that you go out and then new company comes in. All right, mate, how are you doing? Come and sit with us.
Mm.
And you get a good story going. And I go in pubs, and it might be my age, but there's nobody worse for drink.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
get any of that. In these bars, you don't get any of that.
Yeah, we should talk a bit of cricket because we're all missing it like mad. Although, thanks to Sky's Cricket Channel, there's plenty of old archive documentaries, plenty of cricket to watch. But the coming season, people are concerned. Michael Atherton writing in the Times today saying the county championship may have to go to make room for all the other cricket.
Yeah, I think that will happen. There's nothing direct coming out, but, you know, there's always a bit of smoke coming out of the chimney. And, you know, I wouldn't expect there to be any cricket before July.
Mm.
And that would mean that the county championship may suffer in that respect. I'd be sad if that happened, because I'm a champion of county cricket. It's where cricketers learn to be cricketers.
Yeah.
It's a county championship. The rest is like icing on the cake. It's where you earn your money and entertain and so on. But you learn the game by playing four-day domestic county cricket.
The counties obviously make all their money, really, most of their money from T20 Bumble, and that's going to be the one, although they're going to want to fit the 100 in somehow because it's the first year of it, but T20 is the cash cow, so that's the one thing they're probably going to prioritise.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 138 matches, and my own personal view is nobody else's, just me. I think it's too many matches, is the T20 blast, but it is the cash flow for the counties.
Yeah.
That gives them the money to, on a weekly basis, to operate. But getting back to championship cricket, county cricket, it's a tradition. Forget that. It's how cricketers learn to play cricket. Young kids coming in playing at academies, then they play second 11, then they get in the first team, and you might just realise, hang on, this is not just as easy as it looked, and you develop your game. And then the rest of it is developed on top of that. Your one-day internationals, your T20s, your 50-over game, the 100 when it comes in. My own view is I'm real sad for cricket, because I don't think cricket has been any better in my lifetime or in my time in cricket. I don't think it's been more vibrant than it is right now.
Well, Bumble, have a lovely day. Enjoy it as much as you can. You certainly won't forget it as a birthday, will you?
Well, I mean, I'm like everybody else, lads. I mean, withdrawal symptoms. I'm just a proper bloke. I want me racing, I want me football, me rugby, me boxing. There is none.
I know. It's tough. Know. But you just think, when it comes back, that first pint in your local with your mates, with the cricket on or the football on in the background, just imagine that. Picture that.
Well, I will do. I hope they're still there.
Yeah, you're right.
Happy birthday, Bumble. All the best.
Thanks, lads. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
There we are. David Lloyd there, 73 today.
I mean, no disrespect to county cricket, though, and obviously the members love it. But I mean, if you could play it behind closed doors, it wouldn't be that different.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if that was the first thing to come back, you'd probably like have about 15,000-20,000.
Like all the these days blokes, of Dennis Compton,
these guys who've not true. Played in front of crowds like that, wonder what the heck was going on. We got the result of the 145 at Happy Valley. The winner was Sunshine Warrior. Heavenly Thought was second. Real Busy was third. Surrealism, which I think a couple of the TalkSport listeners were on, as well as Andy Smart, in fourth.
Weatherman Nowhere.
That's terrible. Yeah. Anyway, we asked you earlier on, have you ever cut your own hair? Because it seems there's been a big run. People can't go to the barbers or the hairdressers potentially soon with everything that's going on. It's a bit of a close social interaction. So... what are the alternatives? Cut your own hair. There's been a run on clippers and hair cutting kits. Rob from Turnstiles told us that's a bad idea. Shirley has joined us. Good afternoon, Shirley.
Hello. Hiya.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. You joined us on Christmas Eve, didn't you? You're in the studio.
I did. I had the second best day of my life.
Oh, okay.
You don't really count as a caller, though.
Yes,
she
doesn't know you.
She counts as a caller. She's called in. She counts as a caller.
She's more friend of the show, I'd say.
Well, okay. Well, that's on the cusp. So, Shirley, everybody's caller is a future friend of the show. Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Absolutely
that's right.
True.
Apart from the bloke who said Nicky Butt was immense. But so, Shirley.
Oh, no, Nicky Butt's lovely.
Yes, of course he is. I'm not denying that. So, did you cut your own hair? I don't think it was you cut your husband's, didn't you? Is that right?
Yeah, well, it was going to a dead important meeting, probably one of the most important ever, pitching for, for custom, etc. It was electronics, nothing else. And he said to me, oh, God, I haven't got time to go to the hairdressers. Will you cut me hair? Mm. So I said, well, I've got the dog's clippers. So I put the number 3 on, whatever, you know, the guard on to cut his hair with the dog's clippers. And unfortunately, they were a bit wobbly. The guard fell off, and I did a great big stripe of bald head in the, you know, like at the, up the back of his head.
Nice.
And
like taxi
he's not
driver.
The tallest person, so the customers and the people he was pitching to would have been able to see it. And I didn't know what to do. He sort of said, what's the matter? And I just started laughing because I'd cut a big stripe in his head. So I wasn't the most popular hairdresser on the earth, and he hasn't let me do it since.
Did he? So he went to the meeting with the pitch with the hair. Did he?
Travis Bickle.
I suppose. Yeah, he had a little funny story to come in with, did he? Or
well, he said helped. I was trying to razor the back, the name of the company in the back of his head, and it went wrong.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
fantastic. So ASL, because that's the name of the company at the time. And he said I was trying to put ASL in the back of his head, and it went wrong. I think they understood, but it was one of those awful moments when you look at it and think, oh yeah. My God, what have I done?
Oh yeah.
So needless to say, I don't cut his hair anymore.
Nah, I'm not surprised. Jeff wants to know what was the best day of your life. I take it was the wedding, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we thought we'd qualify that.
Brilliant. So, brilliant. Thank you,
Shirley. All the best. Catch up with you soon. Take care.
The best day of my life was when my husband went to play at Manchester United.
Oh, okay. So was that the third, or was that the best day?
That was the best day.
Oh, that's
coming
the best
to
day.
See you was the second best day.
Right. Okay.
And the wedding was probably somewhere along the line.
Oh, okay.
Lovely to know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We've been delving into the archive and taking you back to Russia 2018. I think we were destined for the Euros. That won't be happening now, certainly not until 2021.
Right, that's
so
right.
We go back to a time when you could travel, it was Russia, relatively freely.
Yeah, not that freely.
Around the country to bring you a football tournament. And this was our trip from Moscow to St. Petersburg.
Overnight.
Here we go. So, when we realised we were moving from Moscow to St. Petersburg, yeah. Rather than getting the plane or the fast train,
yeah.
We quite liked the idea of getting an overnight sleeper train, didn't we?
Well, we heard it's called the party train. This we're yet to find out.
But, so, we're on that way now. We just got in the cab. He was playing the Russian version of The Laughing Policeman as we got in. I think he's an ex-cop, by the way, he's driving. Pursuit driver. And none of the seatbelts. All being well, we will get on the train at some point.
That's the theory, anyway.
I've promised to keep you awake when I tell you ghost stories. I ran the story past one of our exec producers, Catherine. It frightened the life out of
me. Really?
And it's true, honestly. Yeah, yeah, it really God. Freaked her out.
Well, I didn't sleep at all last night, so
okay, well, that'll
really help.
That's all to come. See if we can get you a bag of plain crisps.
That's the most important
up to the buffet. And so anyway,
have you got a weather report for along the journey?
No, I can't tell you any of that stuff. Okay. Anyway, here we go. Well, we've walked halfway to St. Petersburg, finding our carriage at the complete other end of the train.
Yeah, we nearly died in the taxi as well on the way.
And we seem to be walking past lots of people who had like a little lounge area and a bed area.
I don't know what's going on here.
Is a lounge cum bed area.
Well, we haven't got any bedding.
Basically, we've got a couple of pillows and we're going to sleep on the seats, aren't we? Really?
We have got fruit, though.
Yeah.
We can't argue with that.
We've got fruit, a couple of dry rolls and some water. honestly, it's first class. It's first class all the way. We're looking at our executive booking officer now.
I don't think there's no danger of Hercule Poirot turning up, is there, to be honest?
There we go. I'll attempt to stretch it. I might have to put my feet out the window.
Are these all pillows or are they
any duvet? What's in that? I don't know. Is that sort of emergency?
Could be a sheet.
What's in there? Tell me what's in there.
It's nice.
It's washed. What's that? It's a pair of slippers.
You don't need slippers.
You don't need sheets, John. You have to sleep in your clothes, you tart. Okay, that's it.
Are
you still recording?
Yeah, more later.
Yeah, more later. Quick update. The executive producer, head of football, because management, they spot things like this. He spotted a lever around the side of the bench seat.
Yeah.
We pull it down. to reveal a very nice bed. I mean, it looks firm, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but it's like George Clark's Amazing Spaces.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you press another lever and a bowling alley comes out.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
And we've got an Olympic-sized swimming pool in here as well. And in the morning, we get breakfast. But I'll talk you through the breakfast menu later. I think Andy's going to have buckwheat with mushrooms. I think we'll see that coming back.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so here we are. We're off. Yeah. And
we're actually off.
Well, we're not off. No, but the aircon don't work. But anyway, apart from that, we got fruit, we got dry rolls, we got chocolate, boys. Look, we've got a bottle of chocolate each.
Yeah,
and bottles of water. And I take it the buffet's about 4 miles away. It's the longest train I've ever seen.
More for more.
Yeah.
We've got the vodka. It's actually rather good.
We bought the half bottle. We didn't get silly, did we?
No.
All things in moderation.
It wasn't exactly cheap.
We're not spending.
More expensive than the ticket.
So we're not spending silly money. Obviously, right. You know, we consider that.
And we did turn down the caviar.
We did, which I thought was good of us.
Yeah, so we're not made of money.
Yeah. Big Alan wouldn't have done.
Yeah, he'd have had a whole container.
He would have had a whole sturgeon plopped in his carriage. Here we go then. I'll still have it.
I'll still have it. I'm blimey, he broke the glass.
Oh, God.
Oh. Hey! Hello.
Oh, baby.
That's quite nice, yeah. It's good. Anyway, we'll come back to you when we finish the bottle. Right, now, obviously we needed to ask a few questions when we got on the train, and we were after a drink, really, basically, let's be honest. Saturday night, and we're off duty.
That's not Sunday morning, soak.
So I put it into the translator, is there a bar where we can buy alcohol? Not a lot, but a few drinks. I didn't want them to think we were Alan.
Yeah. Alan's banned from this train. Even though he's never been here. Have his picture on every phone. Not allowed. You don't want to come across as trouble, did you?
No,
English
really.
Football hooligan, because you look your type.
I do, really. Now, the thing is, we've had a little bit of the vodka. They also brought some apple juice and some orange juice. For a screwdriver, as you said, John, there, but I'm not sure you put apple while I wasn't looking
you
in mine.
You prefer it neat, don't you?
Well, I did.
When we look back on this moment, when Andy's sleeping on a park bench, we'll look back on this moment when he stopped turning up for work and grew a beard. Oh, hang on. Yeah. Okay, so screwdrivers it is. So, yeah, chocolate has been broken.
But cheers, anyway.
Half bottle of vodka is now about an eighth of a bottle of vodka. And we've tried it with apple juice, we've tried it with orange juice. Andy's been saying that I prefer my meat.
It's quite strong.
This is not a good sign, is it, really? It's not really a good sign.
Yeah, like you said, this could be the beginning of the end for me.
I think it could be. I mean, You're fairly bonkers when you're sober, so I mean, what's he going to be like? Andy, I don't know if I've ever, in all the years that I've known you, I don't know if I've ever really seen you drunk.
I'm a man who controls himself.
Really?
Except for my temper and everything else. And
I'm not sure we can do anything with this, but it's like it's rambling, really.
And well, little did we know that later on in the trip, Andy would indeed get a taste for the vodka.
God.
And got a bit lively in
got
a bar.
Got a bit aggressive.
Got a bit aggressive. Anyway.
I brought some home with me. I had to stop drinking it. It had a disaffect on me that I was starting to get.
Starting to get
aggressive.
A bit chippy.
I know.
Really?
You did a shame because it was nice.
Okay. It was quality stuff. It was a bit like the hand gel we've been using, wasn't it? But anyway, that was part one, believe it or not. But the second part contains a ghost story.
Mm.
And more of the stuff that went on the road, on the track
Oh, yeah,
between epic Moscow and St. Petersburg back in 2018.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Should we have a little look in Andy's bag? I think we've got a couple of minutes. Okay, what's in Andy's bag? It's an occasional series bit, and we couldn't do this with anybody else's bag because most people, it'd be pretty routine.
I should remove my headphones for this section because I need to.
But Andy Jacobs has been known over the years. We do this now and again. We spring it on him. And I thought we might do one today, but because he does have an eclectic
today's particularly
bunch
bonkers
of stuff in his bag. So what's in your bag today?
Well,
to
start with, we have a half a bar of my extremely overpriced chocolate.
How much is that a bar?
That one, don't even ask.
About a tenner, apparently. About a tenner a bar. No. Is that one a bit more?
No, not more.
Okay.
Don't be stupid.
Okay, fair enough.
Half a dozen eggs.
Half a dozen eggs from the Rookery Farm.
Yeah, the place I found them, they had loads, but I resisted buying four dozen that I didn't need.
Yeah, good.
Just bought half
a dozen.
Just
buy half a dozen, that's right. It means your old nan can have half a dozen.
Two croissants.
Why have you got two croissants in there?
For breakfast tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. Why don't you buy them fresh? They're going to be sitting in a bag for about 18 hours.
Well, I won't be able to buy them tomorrow. Some asparagus.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Vital that you need, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. All the essentials.
Yeah. Two avocados.
Two avocados. Here we go. It's getting very middle class, this, isn't it? Yeah. No powdered soup for him.
Balsamic vinegar.
Oh, balsamic vinegar.
Thank goodness the supplies are here.
Yeah, good
a
news.
A spare baseball cap.
A spare baseball cap. Which team is that, Andy?
St. Louis Browns, I think.
Okay,
it's one of the old school ones. A pair of headphones that look seen better days.
They certainly have a pair of Beats that look quite beaten up.
Some coffee beans from Columbia.
Nice, yeah.
So
yeah.
I went into Barrow Market and...
You had a bit of a spend up, did you?
A little bit, yeah.
Support the local stalls.
Well, that's what I thought I'd do. Some anodine, a packet of anodine.
I was going to say, basically, I was going to wrestle you to the ground if you had paracetamol.
Well, it's got paracetamol
in it. I'm going to mug you for it.
These are aspirin and paracetamol.
Okay, well, if you're looking for the good stuff, mate, I can't help you. You can't find it for love nor money.
I keep calm. I'm a Chelsea fan that somebody gave me.
That's right, which is a nice little cup.
A pair of spare glasses is like Generation Game, isn't it?
It is, really. The spare glasses, balsamic vinegar, yes.
Scissors.
Yeah.
Imodium.
Imodium and scissors.
A rubber.
And a razor for some of our listeners.
An assortment of pens. Some double-sided sellotape.
Why do you want that for?
I have no idea. Dental floss.
Dental floss, yeah,
you
yeah.
You need to floss.
Okay, we're still going. That's right.
Some more Imodium.
More Imodium.
You never know.
You never know. How much Imodium can a man... When was the last time you went? About 1962.
Oh, good look.
That was probably why you remember that Greavesy documentary. It was the last time you properly went to the toilet. What's that?
Congestion relief
spray. Good, okay. Nasal congestion relief spray.
Like a medical and food bag.
You've got more pockets, Andy. If you've just joined us, we're playing What's in Andy's Bag. I bet there's more Imodium in there somewhere.
Gel.
I'll get 6-1 Imodium. hand gel, he's in there.
Some more dental floss.
How much floss
do I need? Some Dyrolite.
If it's not one end, it's the other, isn't it? Really? Dyrolite and dental floss and...
A piece of very expensive chocolate.
Okay.
Another Imodium.
Yep. You only need one or two.
That looks ranked.
Yeah, don't eat that chocolate. That's vintage chocolate. It's just lying loose at the bottom of his bag.
And the brush from a beard dye. I don't know how that got in there.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
That was this installment of What's in Andy's Bag.
Ridiculous.
Take one or two Imodium, Andy. You've probably got about 20 there. And I mean, if you took two and it couldn't get you home, I'd just go straight to the hospital.
I agree.
Because, you know, that
would
be...
No, I'm fine at the moment, as it happens.
Good. Okay, well, that's... Well, not that we really didn't need to know that.
You didn't.
Thanks. Just like going to your nan's. I've been going. Yeah, all right, nan. Just had me dinner.
Look, this is a very stressful job. I need these things.
That's right. Okay. Well, you could go at any minute, and I'll make sure that's worth socially distancing for anyway.
Yeah, it certainly is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, a lot of people would be hoping to go out and sort of lighten the mood with a bit of comedy, but you can't do that at the moment because all the clubs are closed. And, of course, the festivals are a big thing for many of the comedians.
Difficult for the comedians. I mean, there's no shortage of comedy and stand-up comedy on TV, on Netflix and things like that. You'll find plenty. But for the comedians themselves and for people who love the live experience, difficult.
Yeah. Joining us now to chat about that more, Palace fan, friend of the show, regular contributor Kevin Day. Good afternoon, Kev.
Good afternoon.
Yes, it's look, I mean, lots of people in different walks of life are suffering at the moment, lots and lots of them, but the comedians have certainly been feeling it, haven't they?
Yes, well, first of all, I've been more worried about you two, because how are you going to do the show if over 70s have to self-isolate? How will Andy get
through it? I think we'll just be okay, I think.
I'm on the fringe, I have to admit.
We're in a strange situation, because I've been trying to do some research with my accountant, who's the most harassed man in the world anyway, because he's my accountant, but with all the help offered by the government in their kind of usual half-hearted way, we seem to fall between the cracks in terms of being able to get financial help. I'm not worried for myself, because I think most of the TV work's going ahead, but Ed, for example, my son Ed Knight, he's supposed to be going to Melbourne, which was a big earner for him, and that's cancelled. Glastonbury's cancelled, which he was doing. So it is all a bit weird. I mean, on the scale of people affected by it, comedians are kind of down the line, really, to be perfectly honest, because most of us self-isolate anyway, because we're an antisocial bunch. We call it working from home. It just happens to coincide with the fact that there's a coronavirus going on.
But this club,
the cat's behaving right. The cat seems to have been picking up. She's behaving very strangely. If there are any pub vets out there, the cat has started to pretend to have a wee in the front room and not actually do one. She looks like she's going to do one, and then she stares at us, and then she doesn't do it. She's like she wants to get in on the virus action, which is all very strange.
So is there anything changed in the household that might get the cat acting strangely? I sound like an animal psychologist all of a sudden.
Well, apart from the fact there are four people terrified for the future of their livelihoods, no, nothing's changed.
Do you think feeding off the anxiety a bit?
Possibly, yeah. Well, I'm trying to be calm about it. I'm trying to be the old wise head, but... I do feel sorry for Ed, because he was so looking forward to going to the Melbourne Festival, and they get so well treated over there, and it's a big part of his year. I don't do much live comedy. Most of the live stuff I do is benefits, so I'm not actually missing out on live stuff. But my wife is a theatre production manager, so she's missed out on... She's had three tours cancelled, so we'll have issues down the line, but I think we're more immune to it than others, really, so... The financial thing is a worry for all of us, but there are people who are far worse off than we are financially. And people, so I do. It's people like my mate Ash, who runs the off licence down the road. Obviously, he's my mate, he runs the off licence. But the only thing he talks about, the only thing that he was, we got a lot of Polish kids around here and Italian kids, and basically, Ash, who's from Ethiopia, spends most of his time communicating with the Polish and Italian kids by talking about football.
Yeah.
And at every level, and he's got nothing. The man's bereft. I'm having to buy extra wine from him just to keep him going.
It's really good of you. Very selfless.
Very decent of you.
I'm a living saint. You'd be amazed what I won't do to help that man in job license. It is strange. You know, a friend of mine made the point yesterday. There are people who don't like sport. This is what their life is like all the time.
What a
dreadful thought that for some people, what we're going through now, it's amazing. I mean, you can go about the theatre. If you tell me I can't go to see another play again, I'll be disappointed. But if you tell me I'll never see another football match, my God, I don't know what to do. Because at the moment, we've got enough to talk about by saying we haven't got anything to talk about. But in a week's time, when we really haven't got anything to talk about... Yeah. I haven't got anything in common with my mates. I don't know what else we could talk about.
You're right. It will test some friendships. You'll see what friendships are built on, because when there isn't that subject, when there isn't sport to talk about, you'll see if there was much more depth to it after all. It could break up friendships.
You mean we're going
to
be found out?
I think we are. Well, we don't talk about much else, do we? I might end up hating you.
Thanks.
Well, what are you going to talk, what we're men, what are we going to talk about? Emotions. It's like my wife says, that's one of the reasons she likes me going to football, because she just loves the idea that, me and 15 men who I've known for a long time talk the same nonsense in the same pub before each football game. And it's like, that's something I'm really going to miss on Saturday. I'm really worried. The pub we go into before, this is a serious point, by the way. I know, again, it's alcohol related, but the pub we drink in before Palace games is a tiny pub. It relies on match day income. It's like many local economies rely on football incomes. And you kind of feel that you want to go around there to show solidarity, but apparently we're not allowed to. But I'd be bereft at the thought if that pub wasn't there after it was finished. But we're all we'll find something to work. We won't find something to talk about. We just won't bother seeing each other until this football.
We were chatting to Giles Regan yesterday, and it was a pub, I think in Manchester, that said, look, we are opening. He said, why not come along and see us on St. Patrick's Day? And you can judge us for opening, and we can judge you for turning up. So, I mean, there is a bit of a feeling like that at the moment, isn't there?
Well, I do you know what? In all seriousness, I think in 2 weeks' time, people are going to be saying, well, hang on a second, why are we still doing it? So my view is, and I said this in the podcast the other day, and people criticised me for being irresponsible, but I wasn't. What I was trying to say is that if you're taking reasonable precautions and you're satisfied you haven't been in contact with somebody who's got it, then why can't we go to the pub, even if we sit a yard away from each other, and have a pint there and try and help local economies? Because I think it's important to help the local economy as much as you can. But I'm not encouraging 50 people to turn up in a flash mob and defy the virus, but I think life needs to go on as much as possible.
Well, I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? If there's a government edict and, you know, that is the only way to get rid of it is to lock down for a couple of weeks, that is what we're going to have to do, you know.
But I absolutely agree, but the government should then have said that those places have to shut.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's the worst possible environment for most places, because you say to people you can't go to the pub, but then you don't force the pubs to shut. They don't get the benefit of compensation or insurance. No, most people aren't insured for this anyway, but it seems harsh to say to the pubs, well, you can still... In every other country, they've just said, no, you're all shutting. You shut down, that's it, and people don't have the choice.
There's a pub, I should tell you this, Kevin, there's a pub landlord, I was reading about him this morning, in Stockport, Cheshire, who's basically staying open. And what he does, when the customers come in, he takes their temperature. He's got a temperature gun.
Right, okay.
And it's a great idea.
The only trouble with that, there's a flaw in that, isn't it? Because you can be infectious without knowing you've got it. But anyway, that does avoid people who have got temperatures coming into the pub. But that's his method.
Your club's been doing their bit today, haven't they? There was a statement from the club, wasn't there, about a payment of staff?
Yes. It's going to be very interesting for football clubs. I think Premier League clubs are probably immune to whatever happens for how long it takes. So there is a worry, of course, for clubs further down the scale, because the further down the pyramid you get and then into non-league football, those clubs do actually rely on matchday income. So there will be issues for them. And hopefully Premier League clubs will take a responsibility and help out smaller clubs in their area. But yes, it's encouraging to see Palace do that, because the foundation had to basically close its doors yesterday at a time when vulnerable people in South London need help more than any other time. The foundation had to close its doors, and Steve Parish has already reassured us that the club will do everything they can to make sure that stays a viable concern. But it's
They do a great job too. We saw when we did the London Football Awards, I think they won.
Yeah, well, the foundations at every club do brilliant jobs, and it is a difficult situation. The Price of Football podcast that we do, Kieran has identified 10 or 12 teams in League One and League Two that were potentially struggling anyway, and this could be a tipping point, which is why I do think it's important, because the EFL and the Premier League itself aren't awash with money. It's the Premier League clubs that have the money, and they can certainly afford to finance football at a lower level while all this is going on. And then, of course, you've got the problem of how you finish the competitions as well. I got into a very bizarre conversation with a bloke on Sunday who said, well, if what we do, the only fair thing to do is you divide the number of points that each team have got by the number of games, and then you give them those points for the rest of the season. And I pointed out to him that would mean we'd be exactly the same as where we are now.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But then he
made a good point, because he said, no, Villa have got two games in hand. So that's we're all experts on what the Premier League are going to do tomorrow. I think that somehow they have to find a way of finishing the competition.
I think they think that too.
Well, I think whatever outcome, Andy, they're going to need to find the outcome that has the least legal ramifications, because whatever happens, clubs will, if they say, right, the season stops now, then Leeds and West Brom are going to sue them. It's as simple as that. If they say the season stops now and Villa get relegated, Villa will sue them. But whatever the outcome, I can't see clubs not taking legal action.
Even if you've avoided the only fair way to, yeah, sure, exactly.
Yeah, the only fair way to do it is to, even if it's behind closed doors, and even if it takes until September, is to find a way of finishing the season somehow. I mean, you can get rid of the cup competitions, fair enough, but you need to finish the season. I think that's the only fair way to do it. You can't say to Liverpool, you're not winning the Premier League this year because there is no Premier League. That really it would be funny, but it wouldn't be fair.
No, it would be completely unfair. You mentioned there, Kevin, at the start of the show that your TV work's still going on. So things like Have I Got News For You, they're going to be, I don't know if it's on at the moment, but is that going to be recorded?
Well, we've seen it. I would say EastEnders have closed production. A number of other things I know are sort of falling by the wayside. Studios aren't opening for audience shows. So there's a bit going on. Stuff is being closed down for a while, isn't it?
Well, at the moment, Have I Got News For You is definitely going ahead.
Right.
And I think that is the plan, because, you know, because things like This Morning are still going ahead.
Yeah.
Live TV shows are still going ahead. I think it's important, within the limits of, you know, hygiene and safety and responsibility, sure, that if they can go, you know, it's quite possible there won't be an audience, but, or it might only be an audience of 30 people. But I think, you know, TV companies are taking sensible precautions. So I'd be surprised if I Got News For You didn't go ahead, and also very disappointed, because, you know, it's already been pointed out, if it doesn't, the contract, you know, normally if a TV show's cancelled, you'll get paid if you sign the contract, but in these circumstances, we probably wouldn't be, which would be...
And we need stuff like that. We need shows like that, you know, at a time like this. I think it's important.
Well, I think the production, Hattrick, the production company, make it very much... think it's their job. Ian Hislop very much thinks it's his job to be a voice that holds the government and the authorities to account. And I think that will be the theory, that even if it's in an empty studio with only two camera people and you know four cast and crew, then it will still go ahead. I'd be surprised if it didn't go ahead, to be honest. And at the moment, I don't see there's any reason why it shouldn't. You know, because news, they're not going to shut down news companies. No. They're not going to shut down radio companies. People need information.
Yep.
And also people need diversion as well. The theatre thing's strange, and it's like my dad points out, theatre stayed open all the way through the Blitz pretty much. And so his generation are kind of baffled by it all, but we're all experts, but we know nothing. It's like, normally it's about football that we're experts and we know nothing, but we all think we know better than somebody else about what's going on, and it's changing on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Well, Kev,
it's living through history, but I don't particularly want to live through... It's like that Chinese proverb, it's a curse, isn't it? May you live in interesting times. So I'd really rather not live in interesting times.
Exactly. That's all right. We're all with you on that. Kev, good to talk to you. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
And you too, boys. Bye-bye now.
Kevin Day, Price Football podcast that he does, Ken, is very, very entertaining. So we recommend that. And good to hear I Got News For You continues. I was watching an American show, Real Time, with Bill Maher last week, and they had a lockdown in their studio. And he did it to the crew, effectively. The crew and the writers.
Got
a couple of laughs from gags, and he was saying, you sycophants. You know, the people there written the gags who were laughing. And John Oliver, John's popped in the studio over the years, isn't he, with Andy Zaltzman. John's got his Last Week Tonight show in the States on HBO. And he just basically did a non-audience show completely about the virus last week, and it was brilliant. So anyway, that sort of thing's going to happen. So EastEnders closing down for a while, but Have I Got News For You continues. As do we, as does TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I think we're going to head back to Moscow now in summer of 2018 for the World Cup. We've been digging stuff out of the archive. We brought you part one in the last
hour.
Hammered
in part one. I can't wait to see
Andy,
what was that
Andy
in part two.
Bought a bottle of vodka to drink on the train. And say, Andy, not much of a drink. And I think it went straight to his head. He got a bit giggly, didn't you?
It's
not like him.
No way, he's like me. But yeah.
And so we continue the journey now. It's the overnight sleeper between Moscow and St. Petersburg, and I think we're just post vodka now. I can't completely remember, but here it all is. They've laid on quite a spread here in the carriage.
That's one way of putting it.
You've got a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually. Not quite as good as my chocolate.
It's a special limited edition railway chocolate with a picture on a train on it. It's quite nice. And there are four rolls.
Yeah.
There's no butter.
Spongy.
Jam or anything. Basically, it's just four dry rolls.
I like a dry roll, man.
I can't think at which point overnight, maybe about 3 or 4 in the morning when I wake up, it's about 3 or 4 vodkas.
I bet you go for one.
I really fancy now is a nice dry roll. At what point do you get the munchies that bad?
And of course, we have got we mentioned it earlier, the plate of fruit. Yeah, the apple, as John noted,
it's quite brown, isn't it?
Fairly brown, really.
Yeah, there's three grapes, four slices of orange, and about six slices of brown apple. So, and it's under cellophane wrapping. It's I was going to go in, but I've been put off. I've been put off by the sight of it, first off. So,
it's rancid.
Once again, as a big
Yeah.
Staff are lovely, aren't they?
Well, the guy
who came round, who's sort of waiting on, lovely fella.
Tremendous,
and the lady who's at the front of the carriage showing us in, a lovely lady.
She was very nice, and I used the translator, as I mentioned earlier, and she seemed to... She got quite into actually speaking into it and sort of telling us that we've got porridge in the morning at 7.30. I can't hardly wait.
The people actually are really solid, aren't they? I've been most impressed, really.
Entertain us and while away the hours as we travel through the Russian night.
Yeah, you've chosen some odd things to play us.
I've got some old John Arler, that's marvellous, and Henry Cooper doing Billy Goat's Gruff.
Yeah, do you want to play a little bit of that to the boys and girls?
Yeah,
just to give us a flavour of what we've just had, sort of a whole 10 minutes.
Press play.
Those who frightened to cross the bridge, but they long to eat some of that lovely green grass on the other side.
Yeah, that's right. The amateur grass is the amateur grass.
I can't imagine Anthony Joshua doing this. I can't imagine him getting a phone call from Eddie Hearn saying, Anthony, can you come in and do a reading of Billy Goat's Gruff? Because obviously that's the expectation when you're the world heavyweight champion.
It does seem slightly unlikely.
Yeah, but our producer, John, has just said, you don't realise we're going across rural Russia listening to Henry Cooper reading the Billy Goat's Gruff.
I did play a bit of John Arlott from his wonderful thing.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Very much in keeping with what's
going on. How he got into cricket.
So I did promise you that I would tell Annie a ghost story, and I've got one for you. Now, as far as I know, this is true. This comes from a very reliable source, a person who's not a fantasist, and it was somebody my mum knew. It was her son, and he worked for what they used to call in the old days the gas board, which of course changed. Annie just put a kind of torch under my chin to accentuate the nature of the story.
Yeah.
So, working for the gas board, they were called out to do a service on a boiler, and they knocked on the door of a house and couldn't get an answer. And suddenly, from the top window in the house, an old lady said, "They're not here, they're at the funeral." And they said, "Okay, no problem, love. We'll make another appointment." And sure enough, they went back and they called again and made another appointment and went back about 3 weeks later. And they said, "Well, sorry we missed you the other week, but we understand you were at the funeral." And the couple whose house it was said, "Well, how do you know that?" They said, "Well, the old lady upstairs shouted down to us." And the couple looked at each other and said, "That's who we were burying."
Oh, yeah, it's quite spooky, I have to say.
All right.
Yeah, what was her name?
You're not going to sleep now.
No, not really.
You're not going to sleep.
Not really.
I don't know. What do you mean, what was her name?
I don't actually.
It's not the way ghost stories end.
I didn't know her, so I couldn't care less, basically. don't mean to be heartless.
Explain that now.
Well, presumably the ghost of the woman was at the window.
Well, that's not an explanation. Presumably, tell me what happened. Presumably the ghost of the woman was at the window. She shouted down. Is that a rational explanation?
Well, you know, if you believe in poltergeists.
That's Ian, not a poltergeist.
Ian Poltergeist.
Morning. Welcome back to the train after, I'd say, a broken night's kip. I mean, we sort of get heads down about 2:30, didn't we? Lightweights. And then it's now, woke up about 7:15. Obviously, you're on a train, so as other trains go past, it does tend to wake you up with a start. And it's a touch bumpy, but, you know, got a bit of kip.
Yeah, also it tends to wake you up when the curtain rail collapses and the curtains end up.
I went to pull the curtains, but they're basically on a bamboo pole. So I pulled them and I pulled them down, but I've got previous for that all over the world. It's very much a party piece of mine, but heavy head.
Bamboo pole.
You'll like that. As long as you don't finish the song, you'll like that. So, breakfast arrived. It's a kind of vanilla-filled croissant called 7 Days. Annie thinks that's how long it lasts in the packaging.
Enjoy it quite a bit.
Yep. A nice plain yoghurt, there's nothing wrong with that.
That wasn't a bad experience, was it?
The thing about it is, it was billed as the party train, and I'd say apart from us, laugh, it wasn't really a party train.
There may be some sensational party going on at the other end of the train, but we couldn't have been bothered to... It's a very long train. It's about a mile long, as it felt like that, anyway. It's a very long train, so, if you're going to walk a mile, find out there's no party anywhere. It just seemed to be basically full of tourists, didn't it, really? So, what an experience. And I've never slept on a train before. You had, hadn't you?
Yeah.
You
went to Scotland. This was relatively comfortable. We had very enjoyable.
Not too bad. Well done, everybody.
There we are. Where was Tom Waits on the trip?
I don't know.
My voice.
Yeah, the voice. The vodka had taken its effect on you, hadn't it? And you got a very deep voice.
Very funny.
So Moscow to St. Petersburg. It is a fun way to do it. It's a good trip, that. If you ever get... When things do settle down... and it's getting easier to get some tourist visas to Russia.
To be honest, I did prefer the 3-hour journey the next day.
Yeah, you don't have to do 8 hours on a sleeper. You can do it. This is a sort of 3-hour, 45-minute sort of very fast train, which is a lovely train. Yeah. But they're both brilliant cities and they're both worth taking in. And you could do the two in a nice little 5-day break, couldn't you? Once you've got your visas. We send visas to getting a little bit easier to get hold of, or they certainly were until recently. So anyway, there we are. So we may delve into the archives. There's a few bits and pieces we're going to play. Some great old refocuses where we went through Q&A's, old shoot-in-focus pieces with famous players. So we'll dig a few of those. That'll bring you a few classic clips along the way as well. We never played that one. We had Bumble on earlier on. We never played the clip, did we? Should we play it now?
Yeah, we might.
It's an old favourite. We spoke to David Lloyd a little bit earlier on, and we can't ever speak... it's his 73rd birthday today. And we can never really speak to Bumble without thinking of the time that our old mate Jeff Boycott introduced him on Talk Sport.
Right, David Lloyd I have on the phone. David?
David?
Oh, dear.
Never mind.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Did you drink much vodka now, or have you got...
No. I had to stop. I had to give away that one I brought back from Russia.
Because you felt it was turning
starting
you into
to affect me.
Something you didn't like.
No, exactly. Bad news.
Right, isn't it? So we saw a little flavour of that there. Anyway, we return tomorrow. Keep safe. Thanks for listening. And thanks for... what was I going to say? Thanks for listening, really, is as far as it goes. Thanks for doing that, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.